Romans chapter 12. And we'd like to read from verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints and given to hospitality. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, knowing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, knowing that you came down with the message in this hour, and the message is to get to know you and the power of your resurrection. And as we would see you face to face, Father, we would become like you, for we would become known even as we are known. And so we would know even as we are known. So Father, we just commit ourselves, Lord, to the great shout, to the catching away, to the change of the body, Lord, the great process that's taking place by the renewing of our mind. And we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, because we're part of you. And so we just Father, we just ask that you would help us to step aside from our own thinking, and as your prophet said, the greatest gift is to get ourselves out of the way. And so we commit ourselves, Lord, to that gift and the operation of it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week we spoke from Romans 12 and verse 13, the first half of this verse, of the distributing to the necessity of the saints. And we found that the word distribution here is the Greek word koinonio, which speaks of fellowship. It also speaks of communion. And the meaning of communion here is not like the communion taking of the bread, but it's the communicating with others. And because basically it means sharing. And you know, we use the word sharing as into we share our material things, but there's also sharing we talk about when we share from our heart. And so we're dealing with then actually an entering into fellowship, a partnering, so to speak, with one another, joining oneself to an associate or making oneself a sharer or a partner, companions, so to speak. Therefore, it does not necessarily have to do with sharing material things that he's talking about here, but it can mean the sharing of spiritual or emotional things as well. Now, when we think of distributing, we often think in our 20th century verbiage, we think of a warehouse or some center that has full goods, it's full of goods, and those goods are then sent out from the distribution center to many different locations. Therefore, the word sharing or communicating might be more accurately used in what Paul is telling us here rather than having used the word distribution. The verse could be better understood by saying sharing or communicating to the necessity of the saints. Thus, we get the idea that Paul, through Paul here, that we are to be helpful to others who have needs beyond our own. In Romans 15 and verse 23, we find that the word is also translated as partakers. And in Galatians 6 and 4, it has been translated as to communicate. Now, getting back to our thoughts on koinonia, we find that Paul is telling us that the importance to share with saints is very important. This not only speaks of material sharing with those who are in need, but also, and most importantly, the things that God has freely given us of His Word, for that is what He has done. In Philippians 4 and verse 15, the word koinonia is translated communication with the saints. But mostly it is used as the word partaker. As we find in Hebrews chapter 2 and 14, the children are partakers. And in 1 Peter 4 and verse 13, he says, you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now notice the power that God gives us through this partaking, and that comes upon us as we fellowship around His Word. We see the early apostles coming together in this atmosphere of sharing out of necessity. And notice how the power of God came into their midst. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and reading from verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, the more they sought the power of God, and the more they assembled themselves together for fellowship around the doctrine, the more they assembled around the Word, the more power of God began to display itself among them. Now, I believe that Alpha has become Omega, and as they assembled to talk the Word at His first coming, so too we must come together to talk His Word. But it's not for everyone. Just those who are ordained to be there will be assembled there. And the rest will find excuses like they did in the early church. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 we read, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." So what's the sin? What's the willful sinning here? Why would he throw that in? Because he's talking about assembling ourselves. And then he says, if you would sin willfully, after that you know that this is the thing that we must do, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Now in Philippians 1 and verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making mention with joy," or making requests with joy, "for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which had began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Well, what if it's not being performed? Then is God really present in that person's life? Now, I ask these questions because they're questions that should be asked. You see, what good is God's presence here among us if it's not affecting us? As I said before, if we don't know if He's here, but we don't know He's here, it doesn't do anything for us. Well, what if He's here and we don't acknowledge He's here? Think about that. Does your life acknowledge the presence of God? Does your life acknowledge that this is the end? Does your life acknowledge that it could be this spring, it could be next, who knows? But we know that He's gathering together. Are we being gathered together? He says, "For your fellowship in the gospel." Now, why did he pray for their fellowship in the gospel? What is so important about fellowship? Well, fellowship comes by one avenue, and that is the Word of God, unbroken. But Brother Branham showed us, when Eve disbelieved one word, it broke fellowship with God. Now, there are various types of fellowship, but we receive them all through God's Word. If you walk in the light, notice as He already is in the light, because He is the light, it brings you into fellowship. You see? The Scripture says there's fellowship of the Spirit and fellowship of love in Philippians 2 and 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you see, God is against a self-centric person, or a self-centric attitude. The attitude that says, what's in it for me? It's one of the things that we have to battle most with the pediatricians in this area. We have a little membership, you know, it's called River Valley Pediatricians, and they pay, you know, dues, small dues actually, and they reap great benefits from it. The contracts save the doctors about $10,000 a year, each doctor. And yet, each one is looking out for self. You can't get people together
to look out for the better of all. Like Benjamin Franklin said, either we hang together or we hang separately. And the bride of Jesus Christ needs to come together. She needs to fellowship. We need to fellowship around the Word. It doesn't do us good to just come together to fellowship around, have a party, or make it a social gathering where we all do the same things and we go to the same restaurants and we do all these things together. But we need to associate ourselves with the Word and fellowship around the Word. Because when word is piled upon word upon word upon word, it's going to, and it, we have, thus saith the Lord, it will transform your body. So what if then you don't fellowship around the Word, you don't add word upon word, you're getting no growth, you're getting no change, and you will receive no change. I think what's interesting is, on the other hand, when Dr. Dobson and all the people that talk about these, you know, issues, these social issues, they've actually shown where research has proven that when people have been open, you know, when they've looked upon pornography, it actually creates little sinews in their brain. Well, isn't creating the sinews in the brain, linking the little things in the brain, you know, tying the little cells together, isn't that adding cell to cell? Then what kind of a perversion body are they going to get? On the other hand, if you add word to word to word, the Bible tells us it'll bring forth a renewing. It'll bring forth a transformation by the renewing of the mind. You see? So the importance then of getting together and talking the Word is of utmost importance for a body change. Now, I said there's different types of fellowship. We have the fellowship of His sufferings in Philippians 3 and verse 19. And we found in Him, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. So Paul is saying, look, if you believe that you have already attained, there's still the same thing that we should be minding and walking by. And we have the fellowship of the mystery of Christ in Ephesians 3 and verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Now when it speaks of the fellowship of the mystery, and it says, and to make all men know, we know that all men spoken of here are only those who have entered into the fellowship. For all who have not will not know and will not have any clue as to the wonderful fellowship that is involved when He says to make known the fellowship of the mystery. Now, the reason why we get together to talk the Word is because it is to make known the mystery. It is to, as you begin to talk, and that's why when we sit around and we talk, it's not just one person doing the talking, but we draw from one another, and as we talk, if you're any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. You see? And that's how you sharpen your understanding, and you bring your understanding more and more into the very mind of Christ. Now the whole thing comes down to this one thing. God Himself, who is the Word, has come down to this day, and either we believe it or we don't believe it. Just playing church doesn't do us any good. It has become a live or die, sink or drown reality to us. And either the God who created all things has come down to bring us together in fellowship around Him, or He hasn't. And who is He that we would fellowship? He's the Word. Therefore, when we gather together unto Him, we are gathering to the Word for this hour. For He is the Word for this hour. He is the message. And He is the messenger. And the messenger and the message are one. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 we read, and if you'd follow with me there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And notice John says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, in order to bring you into the same fellowship we have with the Father and the Son. Okay? So, then how is the fellowship brought about? It's through the Word. It's through the declaration. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That means that if we are truly walking in the light, it is because He is the light and He's in the light, and we are focused upon Him. And then the blood covers and we have no differences that merit anything. In other words, our focus does not focus upon each other. The focus is upon Him. You see? And our focus is upon Him and what He's doing. And outside of that, we're not walking in the light. From the Message man that can turn on the light, Brother Branham said, all life. He says, so life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested. Then that is light on the Word. See? That's what brings. The Word said so. And then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light brings life. Light brings life. Plant the weed out here. And you put it in a basement, cover it all over, and it'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germinized seed. That's the same thing it is with the Word of God. See, the Word is God, and when the life strikes it, it brings to light. The light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. Now, what if you're not walking in the light or in the Word? What if you're not talking the Word and walking in the Word? And can the light strike it? Can the life of the Word come forth out of you? No. If we want God's Word to manifest itself in us, we've got to be walking in the light. From the man that could turn on the light, he also said, paragraph 95, said, notice they were wise men, and wise men today, not why, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. All your scientists and all your people who are depending on some great scholarship or something another telling you how to split an atom, it can't give you life. There's nothing can give you life but the spoken Word of God. It's the only way that life can come is through His spoken Word. So when we get together and we speak the Word, the spoken Word brings what? Life. How often, you know, and you brothers especially, these Wednesday nights we've been gathering together and talking the Word. And how often you know that just that spark of life comes. Because when you share that Word and you're talking that Word, and that Word begins to just quicken within you. You see, that's the life of God coming into manifestation. That's the reality of the living Word coming forth. We see then that by believing the same thing actually brings us into common ground.
And that is the land of promise, which is Christ. It brings you into Christ. So then if to believe the same gospel brings us together, then to disbelieve the same word would bring us apart. In fact, the scripture says that's the very thing. That's why, over the years when we have people would depart from, amongst the congregation, not only here, but in other churches as well. It's because they say, well, it's just personality. It's not just personality. It can't be personality, because personality does not separate. Only believing and disbelieving the word separates. And so that shows you, because as John said, they went out from us because they weren't of us. It shows you that if they had been of us, he said, they no doubt would have stayed. Therefore, it's showing, the word shows the manifestation. Now, the harder you preach it from the pulpit, the more people manifest what seed they are. And the more you talk it, the more people manifest around you what seed they are. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, it says, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness and unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I have therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he says, look, we just don't want to be yoked together with unbelief. Therefore then, what is the purpose of yoking yourselves together with believers? Anybody? Ron?
To manifest the belief.
Absolutely. Not only to manifest the belief, but to manifest that word. You see, if that word is a pile upon word, the body begins to grow. I'm not talking about numbers now. I'm talking about it begins to come into its true reflection that it was ordained of before the foundations of the world. So we see that we're to be gathered together, not just for a gathering's sake. In 2 Thessalonians, if you turn with me, to chapter 2 and verse 1, we read, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, that's the parousia, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Now who is He? Huh? He's the Word. See? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He says, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, or nor by word, not the word, but by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Has that day come? Is there a falling away? Has the falling away fully manifested yet? I don't think so. But you see it more and more every day. People that have been in this message 20, 30, 40 years, all of a sudden they're being stumbled by these unbelievers like John Kenneth that comes forth and says things like, Brother Branham called a woman under discernment. He called a woman Mrs. Strong, and actually her name was Mrs. Stout. So he missed one time, they say. Yeah, that's stumbling a lot of people. Well, to me, Strong and Stout, aren't they the same thing? I have no qualms about that. If I said, Steve, you're big, or I said, Steve, you're tall, what's the difference? This is my tall brother. This is my big brother. You were wrong. He's tall. He's not big. Other people, they were sitting there, and Brother Brown told a woman she lived at a certain address. And the woman turns to her friend, and she says, she said he was wrong there. She said, I've known that woman for 20 years. She lives right down the street from me. Come to find out, the woman had moved 2 weeks before, didn't tell her neighbor. She moved to the city where Brother Branham said she lived at such and such an address. Or to say, well, you know, that cloud that appeared, you know, that was actually, if Brother Branham was out hunting like he said he was, then he was either hunting out of season, so it couldn't have happened. The fact is, like Brother Vail said, Brother Branham often went out a week or two beforehand, and he marked his trail. So, you know, there's a lot of these things that just... Look, I didn't come to this message because of the stories Brother Branham gave. I didn't come to this message because of miracles. I didn't even know about it because all I had was a congregation doctor. I had the seals in the church age book for 2 years. I didn't even hear about the miracles and stuff until I came to Pearl Marriage Assembly up there. That was 2 years after I came into this message and was baptized. The reason why I came to it, it was because of the doctrine. It was right. It was right. So anyway, in Malachi 3, verse 16 to 18, then they that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. What does the word often mean, Ron? Okay. And Ron, what do you say?
A lot.
A lot. Well, is once a week a lot? I guess it is for some people. Is once a month a lot? I guess it might be for some people. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. How'd you like to have your family not speak to each other except for once a month? Once a week. Wouldn't be too much communication, would it? And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now the key here is that they feared the Lord. Therefore they spoke often one to another. They respected the Lord above their daily bread. They feared the Lord above their jobs. They feared the Lord above their family time. They feared the Lord above the kids' school and social activities. And they feared the Lord, and those who feared the Lord are the ones who got together to talk the Word. They laid everything else aside to talk the Word. And then what happened? And the Lord hearkened, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. In that day, as it says in the Lamza translation, when I come to assemble my people together. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves us not. Him that serves him not. In other words, you won't be caught up into all the error. Therefore, I hope you see the importance of getting together to talk the Word and fellowship around Him who's here, to wrap up all things and get us ready to be caught up from here. Brother Bram said, when that Word is added upon Word, it takes a hold of every fiber of your body. Then what if Word is not being added to Word? Then there's no body change. So I hope that you see the importance of our walking in the light and fellowshipping around the revealed Word. Now, this morning, I would like to move ahead into the next portion of Romans 12, verse 13. So if we'd open our Bibles again to Romans 12 and verse 13. And I don't have a lot to say on this because it's very self-explanatory. But we read, he says, distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. I really shouldn't have to say much about this last portion of this verse of Scripture. Paul says that we should be given to hospitality, and that is what sharing is all about. We ourselves, giving of ourselves to the benefit of the elect. And this word hospitality is translated from a Greek word, philonixia. Actually, this word is a combination of two Greek words, philo, which is love. You know, we talk about filial love. And xenos, which means one who receives another openly. So it's basically giving of this open, you know, giving of ourselves openly, or giving of this love that we have for each other openly. And remember, what is love? You have faith, hope, and love. Love is an outward expression. You know, the person that says, "Well, I love you," and doesn't outwardly express it, doesn't really love. In 1 Peter verse 4, chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man that has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So we're talking about a stewardship of the things that we have in honor, preferring one another. And in love, showing ourselves to be good stewards of the things that God has bestowed upon us. And notice, he says, love covers a multitude of sins. So if we keep bringing up the sins, we don't have love. Love covers, it buries it under the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't look for every little fault and nuance. It simply puts to rest the fact that it looks at the Word and what the Word says. Not my opinion, your opinion, that opinion, whatever. So we're talking about a stewardship of things that we have in honor, he says, preferring one another in love, showing ourselves to be good stewards of the things that God has bestowed upon us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, he says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby have we entertained angels unaware." From the Message, "When their eyes were opened, Brother Branham said, and they went along, and he said to them, 'Why are you so sad? I wonder if he'd say the same thing to this little gathering here tonight. Why are you so sad? What makes you so weary? Why?' And they said, 'Are you a stranger?'" They didn't know him. "And you don't know who that is sitting right next to you tonight." Now think about that. The Bible said we have entertained angels unawares. God sending His Spirit to an individual, and that individual is a mouthpiece. And when you receive that individual, you don't receive him, but you receive him that sent him. Jesus said, "When you receive me, you receive not me, but you receive my Father that sent me." You get it? We laugh at a preacher sometimes, a good gospel preacher, because he disagrees with our theology. And we make fun of him sometime, and even call him that scandalous name of Holy Roller or fanatic. And you don't know. You might be talking about God when you do that. For the Bible said, "Inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these little ones that believe in me, you have done it unto me. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Not all that say that they believe, but these signs shall follow them that believe." That's how you know them. See what I mean? That's quite a statement. From Galatians 6 and 8 we read, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing." And that's the biggest challenge we have, is not becoming weary in well-doing. Sometimes you get tired of giving, or helping, and pretty soon you stop. That's when you're wrong. He says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I love Brother Chris's testimony because it's so very similar to the testimonies of others that pour out themselves. He worked 40 hours a week or more on his job, and then he worked 40 hours a week for about 2 or 3 years on that search engine. And he would ask brothers locally if they could help, and everybody had an excuse. Always, that's the way it is. Everybody has excuses. Nobody wants to really pitch in and help. And the marvel of it is that because he gave of his time to God, God increased his knowledge until he's had three promotions and he's quintupled his salary. So you can't, I tell you what, when it comes time to giving, be willing, because you can't outgive God. And God has really blessed him, and as the Bible says, he blessed him in the latter end.
You see,
but it was a struggle, very hard in those times. Now in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 we read, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't have it as a put on. He says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And from the paradox, Brother Ram said, just before we call the prayer line, I was having a little bite of ice cream one day with an old doctor friend of mine. And he said, I want to say something, Billy. He said, all right. He said, do you believe in, and that's where I got this thought, the paradox. He said, do you believe in a paradox? And I said, sure. And he said, I know you do. He said, and he told me about a certain person that had been healed, that had been prayed for, that he had sold epilepsy drugs to for years. Sometimes they have 7 or 8 seizures a day, strong medicines. And he said, they never did come back for no more. And I see them all the time, never had it, no more. And said, I want to tell you something, just to let you know that I believe what you're talking about. He said, during the time of the Depression, my son here was over the store. Said, and he was waiting on a kind of a young fellow, they sent him down a line for medicine. And said, a man come up here, and he had his wife, and said, a little woman, and she was, and you could look at her and see that she was just about to deliver of a child at any time. And said, and she just couldn't stand in that line no more. And said that he brought his wife into the door and just leaning on his shoulder and said, my boy went up and said, can I help you? He said, yes. Said, here's a prescription for the doctor, but said, I want to make it clear to you. Said, we haven't got the money yet. Said, we'll get it from the county, but my wife just can't stand it no longer. And the doctor said that she's got to have the medicine right away. And said, if you'll just give her the medicine, I'll go right there and stand in line till I get the money from the county. And the boy said, sir, I'm sorry. Said, it's against our rules here to give out the medicine without having the money. You know how the times was in them days. And said, I feel sorry for her, but I can't do it. And said, I was sitting back here reading the paper, and I looked up and said, something strangely warmed my heart. And I said, and I walked up and I said, wait a minute, son, wait a minute. And the man started out the door and he said, well, all right. He said, all right, son. And he started out the door and I said, just a minute. And he said, what was that? And he said, well, this man explained it to him. He said, let me see the prescription. And he said, just wait a minute, son, and I'll get you the medicine. He said, and I went on back and I mixed up the prescription that the doctor had prescribed on his paper. And I said, and I went up there and had that. And he said, and I handed it to him, not knowing whether I'd get it or not, but I just thought that I would. Said, and I just felt that I should do it. And I said, Billy, when I put that medicine in that woman's hands, it was the Lord Jesus. Said, I seen the man standing there, and he said, and I read later on in the scripture that said, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these my little ones, you have done it unto me, he said. Billy, what happened to my eyes? Did I actually see it? I said, yes, sir. I believe it. I believe that you are so fulfilled, that you have so fulfilled your duty as a druggist in the emergency needed for that. And Jesus said, whatever you have done unto these others, you have done it unto me, and I believe it. And we're talking about giving to hospitality. For whatsoever we do to others, we do it unto him. In Matthew 25 and verse 1, if you'd read with me, I believe we'll close with this. Matthew 25, let's just read together. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him." Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." Go get your tapes, see? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were together, and they that were ready, went into the marriage, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he said, and unto one of them he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And he likewise that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged it into the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came back and reckoned with them. So he that received 5 talents came and brought unto him 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over the few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And he also that received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them." And his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, and that is thine." And his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I strawed not. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And that's tribulation time. "When the Son of Man shall come in the glory of all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And there he, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in.'" See, that's hospitality. "I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." "Then shall the righteous answer, saying unto him, 'Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, and naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not." Then shall they answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw thee we hungered, or athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" Then shall he answer them, saying, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous
into life eternal. So you see the importance of hospitality. Given to hospitality. Because you know not when you're doing it unto the Lord. In closing, from arrow of God's deliverance, Brother Branham said, and I tell you, don't let the world creep into you. Don't let the world get into your churches, brethren. Pray it out, fast it out, until God comes down and takes a hold. That's right. Keep the joy of the Lord among the saints. Keep them prayed up. And guard every little bit. If Noah seen a leak in his ark, why, he put some pitch in it. And so that's about the best thing that I know to keep the leak out, the world out, is to stop up the leak. Is the best thing that I know to do. Only one way to do it, and that's prayer. Prayer stops the leak. Prayer changes things. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we ask, Father, that it would truly be taken to heart. You're talking about fellowship, the gathering together. You're talking about word upon word upon word. You're talking about feeding one another the word, the meat of the season. You're talking about those who would given one portion, would give out that portion and receive back a double portion, instead of those who would just hide it and bury it and conceal it to themselves in fear. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that we would, knowing that you demand a sowing and a reaping, we pray, Father, you would help us to continue to sow, and as we would talk this word, may it bring forth as you promised it would. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.